Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Let's talk more football. We'll go to the West Her Hotline, and we're joined by Dan Orlovsky from ESPN. Dan, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. Happy Friday. Thanks for coming on with us.
Good morning. Good morning to you guys. Good to be with you. Hope everyone's doing well.
How is there not a Dan Orlovsky channel yet on ESPN? With all the programming time they have to fill, have you approached them yet about your own channel?
I feel like on certain days there already is one, to be honest with you. I haven't approached them. I'm hoping that that is something that they come to me with at some point in the future. That'd be pretty cool.
Well, we want to ask you, of course, about Josh Allen and some Bills stuff before we get to Tom Brady and the Patriots. Josh, let me start with Josh Allen year two. Dan, as you were watching him last season, comparing him to year one and all that, before we hop in over to year three, what did you see from Josh? Good, not so good, when you broke down his second season?
Yeah, I think the good stuff, and there were steps in this. It wasn't a mastering of it, nor should there be, but there were steps in him becoming more of a quarterback and less of a thrower. And there's a very big difference between the two of those. You know, quarterbacking is the non-physical aspect of the game, and throwing is obviously the physical. And so him, you know, really once they started to go with that no-huddle offense and kind of give him some time at the line of scrimmage, simplify some things that the defense could do, you could see that he had a better understanding of protections and where the pressure was potentially going to come from. And if that blitz came, what was the answer? Who was the answer? And so a better understanding of that. And that's a really big deal. Like, we can't minimize that, because to go from potential to good and then good to really good to great, it is the complete control of all those things. And so you definitely saw that in his development. The not so good, listen, you only get, I don't know, there's 70 or so snaps a game, and you only get 4 to 5 times to throw the ball downfield every game on average. And the team that hits those and the team that doesn't usually determines the wins and loss. And too many times, I don't want to say too many times, but like, there's opportunities for them to become an even better football team, an even better offense, if he hits, you know, 1 to 2 more of those throws a game. And or at least giving those guys opportunities to go make those plays, to get those chunk yards. And I would say that that's a place where he needs to take a step forward and not necessarily have to show off the arm all the time, but allow those guys to go make some plays for him as well. So definitely a lot of really, really, really good stuff. I don't have to sit here and tell you guys taking over football games in many times and figuring out ways to gain first downs or score touchdowns and all that stuff. But some really good stuff and some growth for sure coming in 2020.
So yeah, year three, I wanted to ask you that. And if you could kind of fill in that those next steps or the biggest challenge in taking that next step. Year one, if you start as a rookie, I'm guessing it's all about surviving. Like, your head is spinning and this is, yep. You know, year two is like you just talked about. Okay, make some strides. Let me see some areas of improvement. What are the biggest challenges, or what are the biggest steps you should be able to make from year two to get to the next level in year three?
Yeah, I mean, there's the obvious things of, okay, a better understanding mentally of what's going on and all those things. But then really, you know, can you get, a lot of people say, can I get 1% better? Listen, they didn't draft him in the first round to get 1% better. They drafted him in the first round so that he would take 5% better steps every year. And so, you know, can they won a lot of games, and I don't want to use the phrase in spite of. They won a lot of games last year with Josh Allen being along with the football team. You want to see, because there's going to be 2 to 3 games this year, maybe 4, where they've got to win the game because of Josh. You know, the defense maybe doesn't play as well as it did last year, and they give up 28. And he's got to find a way against a good football team to score 30 or to score 35 points and be the reason that they win. And so that'll be a really big, and that goes back to some of those shots downfield that I talked about and him hitting. And then obviously a more consistent approach, a more, you don't have to be kind of sometimes a boom or bust or the big splash, but a really consistent approach. And there's the addition of Stephon Diggs. Like, this is by far his best receiver that he's ever had. Certainly when you take the physical and add it to the route running capabilities. And so really just taking that step of being, hey, defense, don't worry. If you guys have an off day, I've got it, you know, and that's when you see kind of these quarterbacks really start to become separators and difference makers.
We're with Dan Orlovsky from ESPN on our Western Hotline. You're doing a great job of leading me into my next question. Thank you for doing that. Because as you're describing that next step for Josh, and a lot of this will be, ultimately, a lot of this will come down to Josh Allen, no question. He has to be the one to make plays, pull the trigger, and make the right decisions. But the acquisition of Diggs, coupled with what he has around him, John Brown, Cole Beasley, how much can that help in that effort if he needs to win football games with his arm and the passing game? How much can Diggs go towards that?
Yeah, it's huge. I would say Stephon Diggs is in the top handful of just route runners in the NFL. And what I mean by that is guys that totally understand tempo of a route. Not every route is run at 100%. You know, tempo of a route and how that helps you get open. Feet and how your feet can help you get open. Everyone says, like, you know, hips, how his feet can help him get open and where he can sell a defender. I'm going in to go out, going out to go in. And then body lean and body leverage and understanding how that helps you get open and win versus coverage and seeing colors and windows. And so now Cole Beasley has a lot of that, when it comes to route running. But he doesn't have the physical traits athletically that Stephon Diggs does. And so you now have taken a guy that has physical traits when it comes to suddenness and speed and good size and elite athleticism, and you've added the route running capability. And so now you've got a guy that certainly on the outside can win and consistently in man coverage, right? Like, consistently he's going to win 7 out of 10 times in man coverage. You also have Cole Beasley, who's as good of a slot as we have in the NFL, and he can win all the time on the inside. And John Brown is still very capable and obviously the vertical threat. So, like, everything that you want in your receiver core, the Bills now have and Josh Allen now has. And so what it does is it gives him options. He can get to the line of scrimmage and be confident in the options that he has. Okay, it's single high zone. Who's my best single high zone guy to find somewhere in between those numbers? All right, cool, it's Bees. Okay, man, they're going to play me in man coverage and that safety's going to lean to my left. All right, now I've got a guy like Stephon Diggs that I'm confident can beat good corners. They can beat good corners in man. And so it just gives him, I kind of reference it to like this, sometimes schematics. It's like looking at the Cheesecake menu, the Cheesecake Factory menu. You know, like, if I'm not in the mood for this, okay, I can go to this. There's so many different options. And that's when quarterbacks are at their most kind of like at peace, because they know versus any defense, really, there's a really good option.
We also wanted to, Dan Orlovsky with us from ESPN, we also wanted to talk to you about the big story this offseason, of course, Tom Brady leaving New England. Let me start there. The offense, we watched those Patriots teams last year, Dan, and they looked, you know, very beatable from the offensive standpoint. It struggled with Brady. What are the Patriots without Brady?
Yeah, going to be a significantly lesser version. And that has nothing to do with Brian Hoyer or Jared Stidham. We don't, like, Hoyer's lost his last 13 starts. He's had a great backup career. Great. But he's lost his last 13 starts. And so it's not like Brian Hoyer is going to come in and become a better player than Tom Brady was. And Jared Stidham, from what everything you hear and read, they really like him and he's got certain traits. But we don't expect him to go play better than Tom Brady did last year. And even as devoid as that offense was with people last year, they're actually lesser because they lost Philip Dorsett. And so, you know, that I am one of those people who for a year now have been saying and feeling that the Patriots are going to really start to struggle here soon. And I understand how great of their two-decade run is. But if you look at the reality of the football team, they're lacking talent. Like, they're lacking talent. And as good as that defense was last year, that defense wasn't good against offenses that were really good. Against Houston, Tennessee, Baltimore, and Kansas City, that they were 0-4 as a football team, and that defense wasn't good. And that defense lost Van Noy and Jamie Collins and Danny Shelton. And so I think it's going to be a significantly less football team. And if you look at the Bills compared to them last year, like the last 2 months of the season, which is half a year, they were better on offense, they were better on defense, they were better on record, and they were better on scoring margin. So, like, I struggle with people in our industry who are sitting here telling me the Patriots are the favorites. And I understand Brandon Bean has to say what he has to say, mm-hmm. but I just can't see it on the football field. I just can't see that.
Dan, with regard to Tom Brady in Tampa, he matched with Bruce Arians, who's worked with a lot of great quarterbacks, is for many quarterbacks might be one of the dream coaches to work with and how he kind of designs his passing game. How much of a match is it with Brady? Because there are some that would suggest that maybe it's a little bit out of Brady's character to have as vertical a passing game as Arians normally does. So how do you think Arians is feeling about it, and how much different are their styles, if they are?
Yeah, that's a great question. Their styles on the surface level are different. I'll be honest with you. When probably second or third week of February, I was on Get Up, and we were talking Brady and whatnot, and I had been adamant that he was not going back to New England. And obviously a bunch of different options. Dan, where do you think he's going to go? And at one point in that second or third week, someone said Tampa Bay. And I immediately, my brain football-wise, immediately said, no way, because it doesn't match up schematically. And Jeff Darlington, who obviously was tied to it, just kind of looked at me and was like, anything is on the table. And in that moment, I thought, I have to look at this differently. I can't just sit here and think no. And so I started watching more of Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich's offense. And two things, and watching more of Brady as much as I had already done, two things stood out. One, Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich love being an empty, meaning five offensive linemen, five wide receivers. And just kind of letting the quarterback control everything. Now, Jameis was really bad at it. Vice versa. Tom Brady loves being an empty. He's one of the best quarterbacks ever in empty personnel by every kind of metric and statistic. And it's because Tom has a great understanding of where the weakness is of the defense, whether it's in man and here's a matchup or zone and get the ball out, or pressure and here's my hot. And so that is a great schematic fit. And then they also love hardball play action. And what I mean by that is play action that is right at the defense. It's not the wide zone play action like San Francisco or the Rams. It's right at the defense and then quick replacing routes. And something, again, that Tom has really become comfortable with over the last 4 or 5 years. And so schematically, it's actually a really good fit. And they're not going to ask Tom Brady to drop back 7 steps and hold the ball for 3.5 seconds and put himself and his offense at risk. They're going to make sure, Tom, we're going to do what you feel comfortable with. And his arm is still plenty strong enough to operate an offense.
Dan Orlovsky with us here on the Wester Hotline from ESPN, joining us with some football thoughts this morning. Dan, thanks. Thanks for giving us your time this morning. Appreciate it. Hope you're doing well. Hope you and your family are safe and healthy.
Good to be with you guys. Thanks, you too.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.